Okay, this week is Parashas Hazinu. Yes. Hazinu this year, normally, most of the time Hazinu is Shabbos Shuva. But this year we get a bonus. We get a bonus at Shabbos Shira next year also.
Everything is the same.
It's the same. We get a bonus this year and next year that Shabbos Shira is in between Parshas.
Oh, yeah.
Parshas between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. That has a nafkamina la halacha. I don't say halacha. I shouldn't say halacha, but that's an interesting nafkamina. We know that there is, Chazal tell us in Motzei Yom Kippur, on the good years, the Abasko came from Shemaim and said, "Leich echol b'simcha lachmecha u'shesei b'lev tov yeinecha." After Yom Kippur, Abasko will come out of Shemaim, go and eat b'simcha your bread and drink b'lev tov with a good heart your wine. Now, the Basko, normally a Basko only comes out in Shemayim to tell you to do something when there is a halachic requirement to do so. Most years, there is no Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. We go straight from Yom Kippur to Sukkot. This year, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we have a Shabbos. And on Shabbos, there is a real obligation to have a Suda. There's a mitzvah to have a Suda Shabbos. Not just one Suda, three Sudas. So when the Baskel comes out and tells us, Leich echol b'simcha lachmecha u'shesei b'lev tov yeinecha, it's referring to the Suda Shabbos. So when we eat, normally, what do you mean you go eat? There's another thing is eating. Why should you eat? You fast. You only eat when you're supposed. And if you're going to eat, it's a sudas rishos. It's not a sudas mitzvah. But when you have a suuda after,
came down when they were hungry.
What?
The Basko came down when they were finishing eating.
But the eating mitzvah kibber is not called the sudas mitzvah. It's not a sudas mitzvah.
They
eat meat
at night.
Yeah, oh yeah. But it's by the Sephardi Jews. They have a bet Torah. They have.
But it's not. Okay, but it's a sudas. It's not a real sudas mitzvah. It's a minhag.
Right.
Okay. The degree of mitzvah is not the same. It's minor. But in a year like this year, we're in between Sukkot. Before we come to Sukkot, it's to some degree, it's the Suda Smafs, it's the Suda that we break the fast to a certain degree. It's a different type of Shabbos. It's a Shabbos of Leich Echol B'Simcha Lachmecha U'Shaseib Levtov Yeinecha, because there are no Averos. It's still, until we come to Sukkot, Sukkot is called U'Lekachtem Lachem Bayoim HaRishoim Pri Eitzadar. Chazal tell us, Rishoim L'Cheshben Avoinos, the 4 days after Sukkot, and after Yom Kippur till Sukkot, are all in the category of Motzoi Yom Kippur. And when you eat a Suda Motzoi Yom Kippur, all of the meals you eat are all in the category of Leich Echol B'Simcha Lachmecha Shesei B'Levtov Yeinecha. And when you have a Shabbos and the Suda is enhanced by it being a Sudas Mitzvah, and especially you're making Kiddush, certainly you're making Kiddush, you're drinking Yayin, you're not just on, you drink wine. Is there such an need to drink wine Motzoi when the fast is over? There's no such a need to drink wine. You make Havdalah. Havdalah is din of Havdalah. That's not a din. Havdalah, some say even the Mikra din of even drink the Yayin Shal Havdalah. We do. Should we borrow prayer goffin? If you make a borrow prayer goffin. But this, that you drink Yayin and you eat Basar in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot during these 4 days, which are all in the category of Mitzvah Yom Kippur, it elevates, it enhances the meaning of the Baskol. It's a much more significant Baskol because it has much greater meaning and fulfillment in the halacha, in the tzudas that we eat. Okay, let's go further. We have in this week's parasha a very important mitzvah. There's a question. The Rambam does not mention any mitzvahs in this week's parasha. The Rambam, when he counts all the mitzvahs, most of the Moriah mitzvahs do not mention there any mitzvahs in Parsha Zinu. The last mitzvah was in Parsha Svayelech of Ksivas Torah and Hakka. That was both the Parsha Svayelech. But there are others. I think the Ramban does list, there is one mitzvah in Parsha Zinu, the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Goydel Leilokeinu. When Hashem's name is called, you shall ascribe greatness Leilokeinu. The Gemara Masech the Brachas used this pasuk as a makor, not as a mitzvah for the mitzvah of Zimun. Zimun is not a mitzvah deraisa, but it's a mitzvah derabanan, that when we bench, when we eat food, we come together. Kishem Hashem Ekra, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is called, Havu, ascribe greatness to Elokim, which means we learn that one person should say, Rabbi Osai Nivarech, and everyone should respond, Yishem Hashem Levarach Me'atah V'ad Olam. There's a call, Hashem's name is called, there is a leader calls out, Havu. The word Havu has the connotation, respond or designate or concentrate your minds in giving greatness Leilokeinu. And that is why the commentators explain the only time when we say Havlan Univarech. We don't say the word Havlan, we don't speak Aramaic. But when we say Rabbi Sain Nivarech, it is a fulfillment of what it says in the Gemara, where you would say to the people sitting at the table, Havlan Univarech. Havlan means prepare. Prepare yourself, come together to bless. It's the equivalent of saying Rabbi Sain Nivarech. Why did Chazal invent the term Havlan Univarech? Being that the Makar for Zimun comes from Kishem Hashem Ekro Havu Godelokeinu, and we have here the word Havu. Havu is similar to the word Hav, which means ascribe. In this context, it means come together, prepare, and designate yourself for prayer. That's why we use the word Havlan Univarech. Now, if we take that idea of Zimun, and we transplanted, we extracted, and we superimposed it upon the mitzvah deraisa of Birchas HaTorah, we have a greater appreciation of why Birchas HaTorah has so many brachas. Or really want to focus specifically on the bracha of Harev Noh. The only two brachas that are in HaTorah, Birchas HaMozain and Birchas HaTorah. Every morning when we make the bracha on the Torah, Asher Kedishonim B'mitzvot HaMitzvot L'Asoik B'Divrei Torah, that bracha is a bracha D'Oraisa. We don't just say that bracha, we append to the beginning of the bracha, the Nusach, the Harev Noh, may it be sweet. Hashem Elokeinu is divrei sarascha b'finu u'b'fi amcha beis Yisrael v'niyeh anachnu v'tzetzo'enu v'tzetzo'ei amcha beis Yisrael kulonu yoydei shemecha v'loim dei sarascha l'shma. Why do we do that? Why do we elaborate so much on this bracha? For simply you'll say, you know why we do this? It's because it's the only bracha that's min ha-Torah. And so we want to give this bracha a little bit more flavor. So we expand upon the primary. We don't just say Asher Kedishonu B'mitzvos HaMitzvanu Al Mitzvas Talmud Torah. We embellish the bracha with a beautiful nusach. But it's much more than that. Since the makor for Birchas HaTorah is this pasuk, and this pasuk used the expression Havu Godel, ascribe greatness. And we see that Chazal have taken the word Havu Godel to mean something very significant, because again, they also use this for Zimun, Birchas Zimun. When we bench, we bench in a very unique way. We all come together and we concentrate. Likewise, when we bless Hashem for the Torah, we embellish the bracha with multiple expressions to fulfill what it says here in the pasuk Havu Godel. The ultimate way to give greatness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to show your appreciation for the Torah. And to show appreciation for the Torah is that it should be precious. It should be pleasant. It should be sweet. The harevna. There's no greater, when a person gives you a gift, and the person just takes the gift, okay, good, you gave me a gift, thank you very much, I'll see you later. That's not called. That's not the way you receive a gift. If when you are the recipient of a gift and you tell the person, there's nothing great, there's nothing better you could have got me. Then your gift is one of a kind. That's the way to receive a gift, to show appreciation by expressing the uniqueness, the preciousness of a gift. The expressions of a harav na Hashem Elokeinu is the very sarask lefinu was the ultimate chiba. We show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we appreciate the gift that He has given us. That is a fulfillment of Havu Godel Elokeinu. I'm not sure, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not sure where the Rambam is. The Rambam is not counting this pasuk. So where does the Rambam learns it's deraisa? Where does the Rambam get? I do not know the answer. Where does the Rambam get that it is deraisa? It must be from a different pasuk. I don't know the answer. Okay, but the Ramban, I believe here, says that this pasuk is a mitzvah deraisa, Birchas HaTorah, Havu Godel Elokeinu.
So, Is there any connection between Havlon and Nevarach to the Hasidic custom of when they hand the kais to Nevarach, say Havlon and Nevarach?
Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says you
spoke.
I don't know about the kais. The kais only made the Rabbanon.
Yeah.
The kais is made the Rabbanon.
The Rabbanon, he doesn't take his own kais.
Havlon and Nevarach. Yeah, I mean, it all comes from this pasuk. But what I'm trying to do is Chazal only say this idea of Havlon because of Havu. But take the same idea, Havu, and bring it over to Birchas HaTorah. So where do you see in Birchas HaTorah a fulfillment of Havlon? What does Havlon mean? It means to give. To give. But it means more than that. Havlon, it comes from the word Havu. Havu means to ascribe. To ascribe. So it's a play on the words. Hav means give me. Havlon, give me the Kosh LaBracha U'Nevarech. But also means, Rabbeisai, let us come together and let us ascribe greatness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for providing us food. So it's a play on the words. Simply in the Aramaic it means give, but it alludes to the word Havu because the source for Zimun is this very pasuk. What I'm trying to suggest is take that same idea of Havlon, Havu, and apply it to Birchas HaTorah. But where in Birchas HaTorah do we find us doing something which resembles Havlon? The answer is, well, look at the Nusach. The Nusach is V'harev no. Now, there's no phonetic similarity, but it just means the entire concept V'harev no Hashem Elokeinus Divrei us that we the fact that we are Mavakish, that it should be sweet, it should be pleasant, and it should be something that we pass to all future generations. This is the fulfillment of Havu Goydel Leilokeinu in Birchas HaTorah. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, we have in this. Okay, we have here the end of the Shira. Where most of the Shira is extremely harsh Musar, extremely harsh Teichacha. But in the middle of the Shira, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, is going to come a point where I'm going to have Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. I'm going Ki Yodin Hashem Amo, Kadosh Baruch Hu says the time will come when I will take revenge of the Goyim for all of the harm that they have caused my children. Will judge his nation and will show compassion upon his servants. When will HaKadosh Baruch Hu show compassion upon his people? When he sees Rashi says that the hand of the enemy is dominant, is where their power has extended to the entire world. The Ephes, Otsur V'Ozuf, and the situation is hopeless. When the situation is hopeless, this is the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to our rescue. Now the commentators asked a very similar question. How could the Pasuk say this when we have a principle that we have faith in the Geula, Animam, the Munashlem, the Vias HaMashiach, and Afal Pisha Yisman, Im Kol Zachakel of Bechol Yom Sheyavo. We never ever lose faith in the coming of Mashiach. That's an impossibility. So the Pasuk here says, no, there's going to come a point in time when Efes, Otsur V'Ozuf, there is no chance, there is no hope. Otsur, Rashi explains, Otsur V'Ozuf, what?
There is no hope.
I mean, that's what it's. There seems to be no hope. It's the same thing. When there seems to be no hope, we have completely given up of hope, given up. And at that point in time, Hashem says, "Okay, you've given up. There's nothing that can. There's no hope anymore. So now is the time when I'm going to come in and I'm going to save you." But the pasuk here is predicting there's going to come a point in time when we're going to give up hope. So what's going on? We have a principle that we're never going to lose faith. We have a moon that we will never ever give up. And yet the Pasuk says that Mashiach will only come when we give up. It's catch 22. We're never going to give up hope, but the Mashiach will only come when Hashem will yodin Hashem amo v'alavav yisnecham. So the answer is very simple. The answer is very simple. That what it means is that we're going to give up hope that our Yeshua will come through the hands of man or through our own power. We believe that we are secure. We have weapons. We have an army. We have the skills. We have friends in high places. There's always a backup plan, just in case the United States doesn't come have our back. So we have our own weapons. We can take care of ourselves. We have our own nuclear bombs. We have our own IDF. We have our own planes. But we'll always have a solution. We'll always have a backup plan. It will come a point in time, the Pasuk says, it's a very frightening thing, that the Efes Otsur V'Ozuf, we're going to come to realize that Al Derech HaTeva, it's hopeless. We have no friends in the world. Our weapons, our plans, our strategies are not going to work, are not going to succeed, and there's no hope. But we have emunah. We have hope that the only Yeshua will come through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's our only hope. Now let me. Now the reason why I'm telling you this word, because I came across recently, I read a hesped about a young man, a 31-year-old Talmud Chacham, the son-in-law of Rabbi Ribner. Rabbi Ribner is a very big Talmud Chacham. He gives shiurim here in Flatbush occasionally. He is the son-in-law of Rav Schneer Kotler. And his son-in-law was Rav Yisrael Meir Yagin. If I'm pronouncing that correctly. He was 31 years old and was nifter not that long ago. He was a very, very big Talmud Chacham, very big masmid. And he suffered the most horrible yisurim one can imagine. The machla spread to every organ in his body, literally. And he suffered geferlecha yisurim. And he was a tremendous maimon, a tremendous masmid, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, one of a kind. And they write in the hesped, this really, really shook me up. It came a point in time, and he went to the best doctors, and they did everything they can possibly do, they did for him. It came a point in time when the doctor said, Atkan, there's nothing more to do. Now it's time to to let go. It's time to sit back, relax, and wait. So at that point in time, he called up his father-in-law and his mother-in-law, Rabbi Ribner, and his mother-in-law, and he said to them, he wants to make a sudas hoida. So it says in the hesped, a sudas hoida. Sudas hoida. People make a sudas hoida when they recover from a disease, from a situation, when they're safe. Well, what do you want to make a sudas hoida? So he says, for the last, I think it was 4 years, we've gone to doctors, we've done everything possible. There was always a machshava that the Yeshua is going to come from this doctor, from this doctor, from this treatment, from this technique, this mahalach. We went from one thing to the next through a cycle for 4 years. We've tried everything that's possible. And now we've come to a point in time when we realize, the only Yeshua can come only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Efes Otsur V'Ozov. The Yeshua is not going to come from any. But I'm not losing faith. I recognize ani mamim b'emuna shleima b'vias hamashiach. Afa pi sheyisna ve'im gozei achakla b'chol yom sheyavo. The Yeshua can only come from the Ribbono shel Olam. It's mamish what this pasuk means. What he said about his own life, and he made a suda soida. You ever hear such a thing like this? Such a thing he made. Unbelievable. He made a Suda Saida. It says here in the Hesed, a small Suda Saida with his family to fulfill what a Bal Madrega. This is not for the faint of heart, such a story, but there's a very powerful Limud Musar in this story. To fulfill, Mamish, what it says in this Pasuk, when will HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the Geula? Not when you think this one's going to help you and that one's going to help you and we have this technique and that technique. When it's clear as day to you, the Efes Otsur V'Ozov. There's nothing Al Derech HaTeva that can save you. The only one that can bring the Yeshua is HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvoidai U'V'Atzmai. Pshuta Shel Mikra in the Pasuk of what it means, Tzipisa L'Yeshua. Okay, let's go.
But we're supposed to even at the time when we have the.
That's right. It's very hard. No, yeah. Listen, not everyone is on this madrega. Okay, chas v'shalom. Not everyone is on this madrega. You have to yeshtadlus. If Hashem gave you the bracha to have friends in high places, we cherish. Klal Yisrael cherishes our relationship with the United States of America beyond words. There's no question about it. And the al pi derech hatev, you have to do everything you can to keep that relationship as strong as ever. And you have to have the best weapons and the best army and the best air force. Pshuta, this is dvarm pshutim ad me'od. Dvarm pshutim. But you have to also a religious Orthodox Jew has to also understand the FS otzur of Yozlem. It's obviously very difficult when you have in your back pocket, when you have everything that you possibly need. How do you release and realize? That's a challenge. It's a challenge. But there's something here to be said, something here to be understood. And this story, this Rabbi Yeager. I saw the story in this thing called Contras. There's a magazine called Contras, a very, very nice magazine. It's a halachic magazine. You know what this magazine reminds me of? It reminds me of the Jewish Observer. This is like fulfilling the void to some degree of the Jewish Observer. It's only been. Who put this out? Not Mishpacha. This is not Mishpacha, this is not Ami, this is not Bina. It's a whole different schnit. It's a learning, it's a magazine with Chidushei Torah. There are Lomish Shel Chidushei Torah, this is a very nice family. I'm all about Hashanah Rabbah. I want to warn you that it's a little extreme. It's a little extreme. We talk, they have here a big, how do I know it's extreme? Mayor, he walked out. Okay, he walked out. How do I know it's extreme? They have a full page ad about the prohibition of shaving your beard. When I saw that, I knew, okay, you know, in Torah Das, also someone puts a big poster, and all the issues about these big posters, the prohibition of shaving your beard, signed by the Chazon Ish, and like all the Gedolei Yisrael who themselves. Okay, but putting that aside. This is of Aaron Koller's. This is of Aaron Koller's great granddaughter's husband. Of Aaron Koller has a son of Schneer Koller. Of Schneer Koller has a daughter married to Rabbi Gershon Ribner. Rabbi Gershon Ribner had this wonderful son-in-law. What is his name? I told you this is the story. Listen, you have to read the article. You learn about this person. Is it fast enough? Okay, let's go to another idea.
There's a Chassid Shavar.
Yeah.
Ribbon Shalom is always first.
Yeah.
We always think of it, you go to yeshiva, it's a Ribbon Shalom. Things go good, you forget the Ribbon Shalom. All of a sudden. And when things go very bad again, all of a sudden, vis the Ribbon Shalom, vis the Ribbon Shalom. Yeah. Ani Risha Vani Achran, where is in between?
Ani Risha Vani Achran, and what you say in between?
Where is the Ribbon Shalom in between?
In between.
Where is?
That's the Musa. That's the Musa. Okay, let me just tell you a short idea.
Who was the son of Rabbi Ribner? The one that actually said something?
Yagid.
The
son-in-law. He's 31 years old.
Someone gave out these little cards that say,
I never
had. Ein oid mavadoi. Sing it, laugh it, cry all day.
Yagid. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Yagin, Yagen. Maybe I'm not. Maybe it's Yagin. 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 I don't know. Yagin.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to another. I saw the following idea. It's a short remez. I found this to be fascinating in Rabbi Wolfson Sefer. Wolfson Sefer in Munasi Tech, one of his kontrasim. He says the following. There are three parashios which take us through the end of the year. Nitzavim, Vayelech, and Hazin. These three are really part of a set. How many psukim are there in Parshas Nitzavim? Nitzavim.
40.
No.
40.
40? Okay, Vayelech? Okay, I made a mistake. The other way around. Fine. 40 in Nitzavim? 30 in Vayelech? How many psukim in Hazinu?
52.
How many altogether? 122. What is the significance of these three parashas having 30, 40, and it's not in the right order though, 30, 40, and the 52, these four numbers. There are four numbers. 30, 40, 52, and 122. So it says as follows. For some people, we start doing tshuva in Rosh Chodesh Elul. How many days are there from Rosh Chodesh until Rosh Hashanah? 30 days. Some people, like, you know, the different svarim, the different tzaddikim, the beinonim, and chas v'shalom, the rishonim, there are different madregas in how much a person needs, how much effort a person needs to put in to be victorious in the Yimei Hadin. So some people, when they get to Rosh Hashanah, already they're done. That they correspond to Parshas Nitzavim, which have 30 psukim. Have 30 psukim. Some people, they need to go until Yom Kippur. At Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meis, during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the Sifrei Chaim and the Sifrei Meisim are psukim. So they need to go all the way until Yom Kippur, 40 days, starting with Rosh Chodesh Elul, all the way until Yom Kippur. Some people need a little bit of a boost. They need to go into Hoshana Rabbah Shmi Atzeres. Shmi Atzeres is 52 days. 52, the 50, the 50 is Shmi Atzeres. We mentioned yesterday Hoshana Rabbah is Yom Adin, but really the Hoshana Rabbah leads into Shmi Atzeres. Shmi Atzeres also considered to be the Chitum, is the Gemar, is the Korban. The Korbanos in the Torah for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmi Atzeres are identical. That speaks volumes. They are exactly the same Korbanos. So some. What? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeres. Those three have the same par, Echad, Ayil, Echad, Kivasim B'nei Shana, Shiva, Timimim. Those 3 days have exactly the same Karbonos. That indicates that there's a relationship between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeres. How many days are there from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Shmini Atzeres? 52 days. Some people, they need the whole deal. They need to go from Elul and all the way until Shmini Atzeres to earn enough merit in order to be speared, in order to be blessed with the year of Bracha. And some people, someone mentioned this yesterday, they need to go all the way until Zois Chanukah, right? Chassid Shavar, that the Chassim is not complete B'diyavim, B'shas HaTchakim, it doesn't work out so well on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hashanah Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, so you really...
Yeah.
They don't get a kapara until which Chanukah? Until which Chanukah?
80 years later.
So Chanukah, how many days are there? I didn't have a chance to check this out, but I believe him. You need to check out your calendar. Rabbi Mask will probably make the calculation right now. How many days are there from Rosh Chodesh El until Zois Chanukah? 122. Check it out if it really works. 122 days. If it doesn't work, figure out a solution.
Who says this from?
Rabbi Wolfson. I don't think it's his. I think he's quoting from someone. He's quoting from someone. 122 days.
Oh,
so
4 months in base, Tay base is the last day.
So it's 122?
I mean, if you count third. It's
going to
depend
on if it's Moli v'Chaser.
29 or 30 days.
20. So assuming it's about it's Zois Chanukah, 122 days. So it's a very nice remes that we go through these three parshios. These three parshios in its sum, Vayel Chazin, we're really going through the entire Yimei. These are parshios that focus on the Yimei Hadin. Okay, a very short vote. I saw this, and I think when I saw this in. I think Rabbi Alehi Goyon. I haven't quoted from him in a long time because I went with him most of the Sefer. I already went through all the good stuff. Alehi Goyon. He has a short little part. Sha'al avicha v'yageidcha zikeinecha v'yomulach. It's poetic repetition. Ask your. Be if you want to understand history. You want to understand Jewish history. You have to ask. Zechor yimoyis aylam, binu shenoyis dar vadar, sha'al avicha v'yageidcha, zikeinecha v'yomulach. I believe Rav Huna says an incredible chiddush l'halacha. He holds that learning Jewish history is a fulfillment of Talmud Torah. It's a shocking chiddush to say such a thing. We take out a barrel wine book, Rav Hudner, based upon this pasuk, Zichor Yemois Olam Binu, to understand Shnois Dar Vadar. You study the Holocaust, you read a Holocaust, a good Holocaust book, Hanukh Teller Holocaust, the heroic children, Yemakayim Talmud Torah, Binu Shnois Dar Vadar. That's
the basis for that was that you should learn Navi.
Yeah.
just as important.
History. Navi. Well, Navi is in a higher madrega. Well, Navi itself is Tarshav Chassaf. Navi is Tarshav Chassaf.
It's more of a history.
It's another Mayala. But even something which is not the Navi, even just general Jewish history, it's not, obviously, I don't think it's the same. I don't think the Fudim had to say that it's on the same league as learning a Daf Gemara. You can't say that. Learning a Daf Gemara and learning Jewish history, they're different leagues, but you still get credit. It's credit in Shemayim of Talmud Torah of studying Jewish history. Okay, but the point, but it says here, Shalalich Yagetcha, Zikinech Yimloch. So, Rav, the Alehi Goyon, Rabbi Klein says as follows, ask your father and he will tell you. And then it says, Zikinech, ask your grandfather. Yimloch, he'll also tell you. They might not tell you the same thing, you know, the different versions of the story, but, you know, the pasuk appears to be a different, the poetic repetition. Ask your father, ask your grandfather. That's not the pshat. The proper way to study Jewish history is shalavicha v'yageitcha. When you ask your father, tell me what happened. Your father should say, zikeinecha, ask your grandfather, v'yomrulach, and he'll tell you. The response of the father is not to answer. The response of the previous generation should always be, go ask the previous generation. If the previous generation is still here, still in existence in this world, the kavod has to always be given to the zakenim. Children, what?
When the child asks, you don't say, as the father, ask your grandfather. You answer, no?
Maybe that is more of an exception because that's a gezeres hakos. So the mitzvah v'igat levincha is the father to the son. It's not the grandfather. You're right. V'igat levincha bayamahu leimar. But here, when it comes to the understanding, when you want to reflect, binu shnois dar v'dar, it's a different mitzvah. Binu shnois dar v'dar is not the same mitzvah. You're touching upon something very interesting. There's a mitzvah v'igat levincha bayamahu leimar. And there's another mitzvah. There's a mitzvah sha'al avicha. There's a mitzvah of zechor yimoy sa'ilam binu shnoi star v'dar. And that mitzvah, the grandfather, is a Jewish. It's not necessarily lahalacha. The Jewish is, when you ask your father, you know what your father is supposed to say? Go ask your grandfather. This is part of the process. The child is supposed to ask the father. Because the child has an obligation to give cover to the father. But it is the father's duty. You want to know Jewish history? We have to go back another generation. Zikeinecha, ask your grandfather. It's a very beautiful Jewish. It really sheds light on respect. Teach the Masorah. The job of the father is to teach Masorah. You hit the nail on the head. To teach the Masorah, Zikeinecha v'yoyim
rulach. Is there a chalek between Yagetcha, which is more of a...
Harshness. Yeah. Like a mother. The sage, the b'nei. When it comes to women, it's gentler. A grandfather is always gentler. Grandfather never punishes. The father is harsh. The grandfather is the father. So al derech pshat. Al derech pshat, it means ask your father via gate, because he'll tell it to you harshly, he'll say it the way it is. The grandfather is more amira, softer. Okay, but this is the Jewish. Yeah.
No, I'm getting
you. And when you get to Kisava, is 122.
The whole Kisava, right, so the whole Kisava, very good. That's the Rabbi Wilson also mentions that. Right. That Kisava is before.
Kisava, and then you listen.
It's Zelumazeh. Right, Kisavoy is the parallel. I don't really understand how he developed it. It's very deep. He develops an idea that Parashas Kisavo is on one side, and on the other side is Nitzavim, Vayelech, and Hazinu. It's Zelumazeh. They're two halves, and they that's why they parallel one another. Okay, let's go to another idea.
24.
Oh, yes, Mr. Axelrod, please.
I hate to sound like a broken record, but... In the Hasidic communities, they place very strong emphasis on looking at what the Zaydis and the Bubbas did. They have Minhagim now with the Pesach that we think it's nuts.
Passover.
They don't use unfiltered water. They don't eat certain fruits and vegetables, which the Zaydis did not use in Europe. It makes no logical sense. It's now Hashem, no problem. decided they didn't use it, we don't do it. They didn't know, we don't know. It's like a rigid adherence to what society...
Messiah.
Maybe somebody's been... Oh, many was there, Williamsburg. Years ago, there's a beautiful minig, Rosh Hashanah at night, I've never seen it. They all go to the Bubba's and the Zaydus to get brachas. And the famous vort from Rabbi Yankov. His grandson, Machabed him on an airplane, so he doesn't understand it.
The monkey.
I forgot the end.
No, because he said to the man, he says, you believe you come from monkeys.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Rav Schwab, this is a beautiful idea from Rav Schwab. At the end of the parasha, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Aleil Har Horim Hazev, go up to the Har Horim. I want you to see Eretz Yisrael, but you're not going. Don't think I will allow you to enter the land. You may not enter. Why not? So Hashem has to remind Moshe, Al, because Asher Al Tembi, you have sinned, you have transgressed. B'seich b'nei Yisrael b'nei merivas kadesh midbar tzin al asher loikidash demosi b'seich b'nei Yisrael. And Rashi explains that you hit the rock. I told you to speak to the rock. You would have made a much greater kiddush shem shemayim had you spoken to the rock. People would have said, "Look at this rock. This rock. There is no reward. There is no punishment. And yet it does the bidding of a kadosh baruch hu. So certainly us, we have been promised reward and punishment. Certainly we should fulfill like kadosh baruch hu's will and command." So Moshe did not sanctify Hashem, and therefore he was punished. Rav Schwab asked a very simple question: why does the Torah choose the word me'altem? The word me'altem is a reserved word. It means moel behegdish. You know the word from Rav Schwab. You have over here, you have an object. The object is sacred. Object is sacred, and you misappropriate. You take this sacred object and you use it for your own benefit, for your own private needs. Well, that's not the word here. Moshe took a stick, he took a piece of wood, and he took the wood and he banged on the wood on a rock, and the water came out. Where was their mi'ilah? The water was not sacred, the rock was not sacred, and seemingly the stick was not sacred. So the word mi'ilah does not fit into the pasuk. So simply, we're all brainwashed, we read the pasuk 100 times, and it means, no, it's a general term, it means to sin. Mi'ilah is a word which means to transgress. To transgress. It's a word like any other word, and we fit it into the pasuk based upon the context. But literally, the way it's used in halacha, in the Torah, in a very literal sense, is it means to take something which is sacred and to use it for your personal gain. So Rav Schwab says an incredible idea. He says, Yistori Chazal, I don't know where this Chazal is. It's either a Medrash or it's maybe a Gemara. I didn't have a chance to go into the details, but Chazal tell us the staff that Moshe used to hit the rock was the Mate Aron. The Mate Aron. What was the Mate Aron? Where was the Mate Aron? The Mate Aaron was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was the Mate that it was the staff that was shown that Aaron was selected to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. After, in the aftermath of the Magefa of the Magefa of the Bnei Midyan.
Nice, because you have Tzomeya, you have Evan.
Where's your Evan? Where's the Evan?
The stone that he's hitting. The rock.
Yeah, the Tzmech Evan, yeah.
He should have done a Medaber.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Look at that. Meir the Darshan. Meir HaDarshan.
Meir, add it to my collection.
Tzmech, there's the Doimim, the Tzmech. Where's the Chai? Where's the Chai?
The
Chai. Moshe's the Medaber, but where's the Chai?
Mayim Chaim.
Huh?
The Mayim, the water. Is chai? You want to say mayim chayim, living water? Okay, we'll work on this. You gotta know this. Okay, so the question over here is. So he says as follows. So he says, we go to Parshas Korach. In Parshas.
432.
Ooh, wow. You good with the numbers? 432, okay. Page number. He told him to hit the rock. Wait, would that? Where is this? Wait, Korach. I'm looking for take. Oh, okay, fine. Perik Shishi, Pasuk Chaf Hei. Perik Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Hei. What happened? Vayoymer Hashem el Moshe, Hoshev. Okay, after this, they put 12 sticks, they took 12 staffs in the oil moed. It was only the staff of Aaron that blossomed with almonds and flowers. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hoshev es matea Aaron lefneho edus. Take this mate, lemishmeres leois levnei Mary. This mate shall serve as a permanent reminder for Klal Yisrael, for the Bnei Mary, that Aaron has been selected to serve as the Kohen Gadol, usechal selun asam me'alai v'lo yamusu, and they shall stand down from complaining against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayas Moshe kasher tziva Hashem Moshe kenasa. Rav Schwab says, the matah was Kodesh. This matah, it served a role. It served a very holy function. In fact, there's no greater holiness in this world than the prevention of machlokes. When you prevent, when you have an object, this matah was sacred. It miraculously produced almonds, flowers, buds, and it was designated to be an ois l'mishmeres for Klal Yisrael in order to suppress, to nip in the bud, machlokes in Klal Yisrael. Is there a greater kedusha in Klal Yisrael, a greater object of kedusha in Klal Yisrael than this matah? Impossible. Can you imagine? No machlokes? What would Klal Yisrael be today without machlokes? Mashiach would be here long ago. And this matter is the matter that's going to suppress machlokes. And this matter is just a miraculous. It's full of life. Moshe took this matter. He was never told to take the matter and to bang the matter. He was told to take the matter, to hold the matter. Hold the matter is a symbol. Klal Yisrael, what are you complaining about? What are you complaining about? You want to look for trouble. But holding the matah, just holding the matah would disarm Klal Yisrael. They will remember, they complained. They complained that an Aaron, seeing the matah would be enough to disarm them. And then Moshe would speak to the rock. The rock, will you please bring forth some water? But Moshe took this object of holiness and he was moyel. He misappropriated. He took the matah and he banged. He hit. He used the koyach of the matah to bring forth mayim. That's ni'ilah. That indeed is the greatest.
For his own purpose.
He used it for his own purpose. So the word ni'ilah is written with the ultimate precision. The ultimate precision. This is the basic yisod erva. And you just go a little step further. What was the chet? What was Klal Yisrael's original chet? It's even more precise. Because what was the chet of Klal Yisrael? Vayilonu. They complain. The chet was dibur. The koyach had dibur. There was a complaint with words. And this matah served as an ois. Silence. Don't open your mouth to complain. Moshe was instructed to speak to the rock. Moshe, instead of, he substituted his speech for the staff, for the matah. That's mi'ilah. There couldn't be a greater form of mi'ilah. This matah is Kodesh in respect to Dibur. This matah was meant to silence the Dibur of Klal Yisrael, and you now, Moshe, are substituting your Dibur for the matah. That's Mamash Mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is when you take something that's Kodesh for one purpose and use it for a different purpose, especially when the purpose is the purpose of Dibur, and now you're using it instead of Dibur. So it's with the ultimate precision, the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu was a chait of mi'ila mamish, and that is why the pasuk selected specifically this very precise term. Okay. One other short word from Rav Schwab and relating to. I'm not sure this is from Rav Schwab. Maybe this is from Rav Schwab. I think it's from Rav Schwab. Vayishman yishurun vayiva. The very famous expression we have all over. We had in Chazal the danger of complacency. When a person is complacent, he waxes. What's the expression? Fat. And then vayishman yishurun vayiva. They kick. Vayishman vayiva. They rebel against the Kadosh Baruch. The question is, this is nothing new. We in fact say this every day in Kriya Shema. V'hoya we mentioned the idea of complacency in multiple places. Let me see what I'm referring to. Hishamu lochem. Don't get carried away. Don't become too complacent. This follows after. Let's read back in the past. Vinasati mitar artschem biito yoyre umalkoish viosafto deganecha vesiroshecha viyitzarecha vinasati isa besalcha levdecha vichalcha vesavata. Hakadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon Klal Yisrael incredible bracha, unlimited bracha. And then what's the next thing? Oh, once we have the bracha, watch out! Watch out for the dangers of complacency. Hishamulchem penyifte levavchem v'sartem. So what is the pasuk in Hazinu coming to add that we don't already know from Kriya Shema? And it's not only in Kriya Shema. There are many psukim in the Chumash Devarim which talk about the theme that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses you, don't fall into that trap. That trap is very common where you become complacent and you begin to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I believe Rav Schwab says there's a very big difference, because here it says the word Yishurun. We know that Klal Yisrael has multiple names. The simplest name is Yaakov. And then there's the name Yisrael. And then there's the ultimate, the highest madrega of Yishurun, Loshon of Yosher, of uprightness. And each name represents a different madrega of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael in times of Golas are called Yaakov. In times of Geula, what?
Remember, this is
Rav Schwartz.
Right,
Yishurun. Yishurun, Kahal, Kahal, Benesh. Yishurun. Then comes the madrega of Klal Yisrael, and Yom Tif is a higher madrega of Yisrael. Yishurun is the ultimate, exalted level, spiritual level of Klal Yisrael. So he says a very interesting idea, that this pasuk here in the Shir is now referring to material blessing. Material blessing, the dangers of material blessing coming to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be complacent, that is throughout the Torah. That's in Kriya Shema. Hashem will give you rain, He'll give you wine and oil, and all the blessing you can possibly have. Watch out! Hazinu is talking about, he's sitting in Koilach, and you become a Talmud Chacham, and you shteik, and you know Shas, and you know Poiskim, and you know responsive literature, as her Kefir would say. You know everything. You know everything there is to know. It's natural that when you know more than your friends, and you're in Koil, you're living a lifestyle of Kiddusha Tahara, you're in Koilel, you're learning, you're steiging, you're developing, there's also a gaiva that comes along with it. A gaiva de Kiddusha. The danger, the extreme danger of the gaiva de Kiddusha. Vayishman Yishurun. We're not discussing Vayishman Yaakov. We're not talking about Vayishman Yisrael. We're talking about the elite. Oh no, this is not Rabbi Schwab, I apologize. Now I remember. This is Rabbi Weinberger, the Shemin HaToif, or Bernard Weinberger, a Bernard Weinberger from the young Israel of Williamsburg. Vayishman Yishurun. Vayishman, I knew there was something wrong. I know, okay. Vayishman Yishurun. Vayivat. People have a tendency, Talmidei Chachamim, watch out. Just because you were blessed to have a brilliant mind, to be a Talmud Chacham, and to have the time and the money and the support to develop in a beautiful way and become a leader in Klal Yisrael, don't get too comfortable with yourself. They need the kapara. They need the kapara more and more than someone recently told me. This is not really related, but someone told me that A Rav, who told him this? Rav Sher, Shimshi Sher. He's a Rav, Rabbi Shimshi Sher. He's a Rav over here in Flatbush. So he told someone recently that when he became a rabbi, Rav Elias Svei, Zech Levracha, said to him, "You don't get a mazel tov on your rabbanus. Just because you're a Rav, you don't get a mazel until you have your first Agmas Nefesh. Until you have, that's when you're a real Rav. You have Agmas Nefesh, they start throwing things at you, then you know, Vayishman, Yeshurun, Vayiva, you've been spared from Vayiva. The complacency has been, that has been dull. So he said, how does he know this? Because when he became Rav, Rav Shimshi Sher, when he took up his position over here on Avenue L, and when the Nostrand, So everything was smooth sailing for a short tkufa, honeymoon tkufa of a rabbanus. And then he was certain very difficult shaila, and he passed in a certain way, and there was a balabas that was very unhappy with his psak halacha, and he made a lot of trouble for him. So he called up his father, Rabbi Scherer from the Aguda, Rav Moshe Scherer, and he told him he's having a lot of agmas nefesh from this balabas. He's giving him a very hard time, making a lot of trouble because of his psak halacha. So his father screams out, Mazel Tov! And he says his mother was upstairs and she heard his Rabbi Moshe Scherer scream out Mazel Tov. She comes running down and she says, who had a baby? So he gave a Mazel Tov to his son. You now had your first Agmas Nefesh, Baruch Hashem. It's not Vayishman Yeshurun. There's no Vayivat. It's a danger. The danger of Ayishram Yishur comes to an end when you have that Agmas Nefesh. Okay, let's talk briefly about Sukkos. Let's talk briefly about Sukkos. I want to just bring out... wait, limited, before we come, I just want to tell one more last thought on the parasha. This is a very, I think, just a poor, important issue. You know, the last things always make the strongest impression. The last thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu was, this is really the end of the Torah. This is really the end. Zois HaBracha, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. He's giving brachas, and it's over. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's time to die. It's about, the very end is about Moshe's death. The last instructions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu as a teaching, as a lesson for Klal Yisrael, is the Mei Meriva. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go up to Har HaAvarim, look at Eretz Yisrael, and you're not going. Why are you not going? Because Al Asher Merisen, you have rebelled. You have rebelled. Ma'altem bi b'soch b'nei Yisrael b'nei Merivas Kodesh b'midbar tzin Al Asher ki lo kidash demosi b'soch b'nei Yisrael. That's the end. That's the last Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is our teacher. And the last thing, you know, there's something to the last. And the message is, influence you have on others. Moshe Rabbeinu, you've done it. You've done something you could have had upon Klal Yisrael more influence. More, you could have made a greater Kiddush Hashem. People are watching your actions. They're watching your behavior. And a person has to realize, when you walk in the street, when you behave, people are watching. You failed to sanctify me in a way that would have been a greater Kiddush Shemayim, and there are consequences. That's the last message of the Torah. It's a very frightening message, because this is something every single person has to live with every single day. Kiddush Hashem.
Pope yesterday.
Yes.
You read the transcript. He mentioned Moses as the ultimate lawgiver, and how the law unites. He was talking to the Congress, and the first thing he referred to, it's the transcripts online, is Moses, the leader of the Jews, and giving
who's
the law
this?
Down.
The Pope.
The guy with the white yarmulke.
Listen, he got it.
He gave him a schmooze. He gave him a schmooze.
But also, the transcendence, that Moses was the connection between the people and God, because he had transcended to a different level.
Yeah, but our current people...
Okay, let's wind down with Sukkos. I want to tell you two short ideas. One idea, why do we sit in Sukkos? Why do we sit in Sukkos? To commemorate the Anani Akavot. Question is, why then do we not have a holiday to commemorate the Mon? And why do we not have a holiday to commemorate the Be'er? There is no such holiday. So there are many answers, but there is one answer. One answer is that who says that we commemorate this, that we commemorate the Anani Akolim, is only a one opinion. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The opinion of Rabbi Akiva is that in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael did not necessarily have Anani Akolim. They had Anani Akolim, but when we commemorate Sukkos, we commemorate the Sukkos Mamish. When Klal Yisrael traveled the Sukkos HaShavti, where we went in the desert, we constructed makeshift huts. We actually constructed are sukkos, temporary dwellings, and this is what we commemorate in the festival of sukkos. And that answers the question, why do we not commemorate the mon and the be'er? Because those are mice and nisim. We're not a religion where we only commemorate miracles. If we were commemorating the Anani, only the Anani HaKavod, like Rabbi Eliezer, then you can ask the question, if you commemorate the Anani HaKavod, so commemorate the mon and the be'er. But if we're not commemorating mice and nisim, we're following Rabbi Akiva, we're commemorating the booths, these physical booths, so then the mon was Mycenaeism, the bear is Mycenaeism, but the physical booths that we constructed are not Mycenaeism, so therefore there's no kasha, we're coming to me. What then does it mean? Then if that's the pshat, the meaning of sukkahs takes on a very much more powerful meaning. When we went out to the midbar, it's possible, we said this pasuk in the Yom Naram, Lechtech achrai ba midbar bi eretz loy zeruah. Klal Yisrael had faith, emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They left Mitzrayim, they went out to the desert, a place of nothingness, of thirst, of hunger, of danger, and they built for themselves temporary booths. It was a display of emuna pshuta in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you look at the sukkah, you're now looking at Anani HaKavod, according to Rabbi Akiva. You're looking at a temporary physical structure that a homeless person lives in. And it's something similar to this hut our ancestors in Yetzias Mitzrayim constructed for themselves, nothing more than an act of faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a very powerful lesson. Lechtech achrai b'amidbar b'eretz lezeruah. It is an expression of emunah. Okay, the last idea is a half-baked idea. It's something to think about, something that you can put back in the oven, or you can burn the oven if you don't like it. But I think there's a kernel of truth. I saw yesterday for the first time something very, very, very fascinating, and I don't know what it means. It's a Sofnas Paneach, the name of one of the Gedolei Achrayinim, Ragachava. He says a very fascinating idea. He says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishayim, Hashem took Ofar min ha'adama, Hashem ayitzar, Hashem lokim es ha'adam, Ofar min ha'adama. He took earth out of the ground. When Hashem took earth out of the ground, Hashem created a cavity. When Hashem created the Shemayim v'aretz, the earth was flat, or maybe there were mountains, whatever it was, there was a certain topography, and there was Shemayim. Hashem then took a clump of earth out of the ground to fashion man. By taking the clump of earth out of the ground, that left in the earth
a hole.
Ein abar mismale el mechulia. Hashem made a.
That's in Haroi.
You go back.
A hole. If you take the earth, you put the earth back in the hole. It's not going to fill it up. It's not going to fill that.
You go back.
Hashem created a hole, a cavity, a hole, an empty space. So he says, Ragachava says, he says that that's what we were doing, that is what we are doing for Nisach HaMayim. Nisach HaMayim, we're pouring water in the sheets. When you pour water in the Mizbeach, what happens to the water in the Mizbeach? There's a little hole on top of the Mizbeach. You pour the water, it goes down a pipe, it goes down into the Shisin. He says the shisin, that pit in the ground, that was a natural cavity. That cavity is the hole that was created when Hashem created Adam HaRishon. When Hashem created man, Hashem took earth. By taking that earth, it created a cavity. We're going back to our roots. By taking and pouring the water on that, we're going back to the creation of man, to that cavity. Now he develops this in a very mystical way, and he basically says is that, I'm trying to elaborate, just speculate what he means. There's a bracha we make every day multiple times, the bracha of Asher Yatzar es Adam lechochma uvaravo nikavim chalolim chalim galui v'chulu v'chulu. When do we make this bracha? We make this bracha when we release psoilas. When a human being releases the waste product, he makes this bracha, Ribbono Shel Olam, you have created Yotzar Es Adam B'Chochma, and in the body there are Chalolim, Chalim, there are openings, crevices, and opens and cavities. There are different openings. I want to suggest, okay, again, this is a half-baked idea, that Nisuch HaMayim is really a reenactment, or to some degree, of the Bruch of Asher Yotzar, or Sukkot for that matter. When we sit in the Sukkot, is a Sukkot a good thing? Obviously, Vadani HaKavod, Tzil Din HaNusa. But Sukkot also represents Golos. It's part of the Nusach HaTfil that if Chas V'Sholom V'Chayev due to our sins on Yom HaKippur and Rashon V'Chayev Golos, let our going into the Sukkah serve as Golos. Golos represents, and this is all very abstract, the psoilas of man. When man has not been 100% loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is sin. Sin is not an ideal. Sin is a waste product of man's failures. The Sukkah, what is Sukkah made from? The Pesoilas Goyren V'Yekef. The Schach of the Sukkah is a waste product. It's Feir Shechazal. Pesoilas, it's not Makabel Tumah. It's not a Kli. It's a waste. Pesoilas Goyren V'Yekef. What do? Sukkot, we focus on not physical waste, we focus on the fact that we lack perfection. There's more for us to do. There are cavities in the world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he also created a vacuum, an opening, a hollow space for man to fill up. Part of creation, when Hashem made the human being, he also, with creation of a human being, he also created a hollow space in this world, an empty space. What's the empty space? It's man's contribution. That empty space is for man to finish. It's for man to develop. Like you said, that empty space is man's bechira. It's man's role. On Sukkot, we take Mayim. What is Mayim? Mayim is Ruchnius. Mayim is Hoy, called Tzomei, Lechu, Lamayim. What is the earth? The cavity? The cavity is the Mizbeach. Mizbeach is Gashmius. The Mizbeach is Mizbach Adama Tasali. It's the Mokum that we put all of the animals. Animals represent Gashmius. It's the place we sacrifice on the Mizbeach animals. It's the place where all animals are directed. It's a Mokum of Kula Gashmi. That's what the Mizbeach is. Kula Gashmi. Mizbach Adama Tasli. Earth. Adama. Earth. And what goes on the earth? On the Mizbeach? An animal. What is an animal? Animal is Kula Gashmi. It's the pure Gashmius. And what do? On that Mokoyim, in that cavity, we pour Mayim. Mayim represents the ultimate spirituality. Hoy called Tzomei L'chula Mayim. The Chibur of Ruchnius and Gashmius. This is man's tafkid. This is man's tafkid in this world. And we recognize, we try our best, but we recognize that sometimes we fail. We fail. A human being is not, if a person was perfect, Hashem created a perfect world. The fact that we released psoilas, when they, in the man for 40 years in the desert, they ate man. When there was man, there was no psoilas. They didn't go to the Beis HaKisi for 40 years because they ate the perfect food. We don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a perfect world. This psoilas. Sukkot is a tekufa where we recognize we're not perfect. We've gone through Rosh Hashanah. We've gone through Yom HaKippurim. There is residual chait. There's residual chait. We go into golos to the mechaper for the chait. We sit in a sukkah that's constructed from psoilas. So what do we do? Well, we do the best that we can. We go back to our shoresh, asher yotzar es ha'adam b'chochma uvarovo, through the creation of man, not in man. Translate the words homiletically. Uvarovo, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, through the creation of man, uvarovo chalolim chalolim nikovim nikovim chalolim chalolim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the earth cavities and openings for what? For us to fill up. The Goloi, the Yodua, Lefnei, why all of a sudden do we describe the Kisei Chavoydecha? Because these are the Yimei Hadin. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, HaMelech Yoyishev Al Kisei Rom V'Nisa. This is the Nusach HaTfilah, the beginning of the davening of Rosh Hashanah, HaMelech HaKodesh. Goloi V'Yudua Lefnech, what are you, everyone is bothered, what are you talking about the Kisei HaKovet? Goloi V'Yudua Lefnech Yisei Chavodecha, HaMelech Yoyishev Al Kisei Rom V'Nisa. If we do not fulfill our tafkid in this cavity that you have given us, if this cavity would be closed, we would be denied the ability to achieve our tafkid. Okay, you have to develop what this means. There's no purpose for man's existence. So what we're really doing on Sukkot is we are being mekayim the asher yotzar bracha.
That's why all the amei haaretz,
this better be good. What?
That's why the Goyim brought the Karbanos.
Yeah.
They're all Gashmi and they're all...
Psoilas. The Psoilas, okay. But I think this, there is something over here. There's such an idea. There is an idea. The Psoilas, Gorin, the Yekev, Golus is Psoilas, and our goal is... Mafli, why do we say... Why do we say Mafli Lasois? Why do we say the Shulchan Aruch? Why is it Mafli Lasois? What is the Shulchan Aruch? Mafli Pela. What's a Pela? So Shulchan Aruch says, what's the conclusion of the Bracha? The miracle, the wonder of being mechaber a davar ruchni with a davar gashmi. It says in Shulchan Aruch, mafli lasos. What is the mizbeach? Pure gashmius. What is mayim? A symbol of pure ruchnius. Pesach hamayim is umafli lasos. We're coming to recognize our tafkid in this world is to be mafli lasos, to do Hashem's rotzon, to sanctify the gashmius. But sometimes we fail, and when we fail, there's psoilas. There's psoilas. Psoilas results in golos. It results in golos. It results in the psoilas garden v'yekef. But we do the best that we can. So in essence, Nisach HaMayim and Sukkot is, in a sense, a reenactment or a living example of the bracha of Asher Yotzar Es HaAdam. Okay, have a wonderful Yom Tov. Chag Kosher v'Sameach.